Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Do they do Prosecco?
Cheers. I'll fetch them over.
Evening, boys.
Hey, up.
Evening, Rob.
Evening, Rob. You all right?
I'm all right. Are you all right?
All good, thank you.
Yeah. Fantastic. Listen, I've got a little bit of a treat for you tonight.
Oh, dear. Oh, here we go.
A treat? I've brought something.
What is it, a roasted egg?
I've brought something and I've asked that Sally should give me permission, but give me a second.
Oh. All right, okay. All right. So last time you brought pickled eggs last time, weren't it?
Yeah, but it's not like this time. It's a drink.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, that's why I had to get permission from Sally.
I'll get the shot glasses, shall I?
Oh. Must be alcoholic then.
Right.
Here we go.
Okay, here he comes.
Do you know every time you do this, Rob, you look like you've been shoplifting?
You've got a rucksack with a carrier bag inside it and you're pulling out stuff that's got
the
tags on it.
The tape is, it's
right,
got a rucksack.
Before I reveal it, I'm going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
Oh.
It's a beer.
Way up.
Oh, okay.
Right up your street.
Right up my street.
Now, this beer is by a brewery called Tiny Rebel.
Ooh.
And Tiny Rebel are
not very big.
A brewery from Newport in Wales.
Yep.
And they are, you've heard of Tiny Rebel, haven't you? They're a fantastic brewery. We're not endorsed by them, by the way.
Yeah, we're not sponsored. Just, if you want to get in touch.
Absolutely. So, I've had this beer a little while. And
the
other day, I was looking at the fridge and I was like, do you know what? I've never had that. I need to share this with boys, actually, because it's a bit different.
How have you got beer in your fridge and you've not drunk it?
Well, I've not revealed it yet.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, Tiny Rebel are known for doing beers that are a little bit different.
Here we go. It's some not got of a Damien Hirst twist on it, and it's got a sheep floating around in it.
I've never had a bad Tiny Rebel beer, by the way, but they are known for doing some completely different types.
Yeah, just get it out of your bag. I'm waiting to see.
No.
Of course I'm ready. I've been sat here.
So this is a Tiny Rebel. It's an Advent beer. What? And it's called Bloody Mary.
Oh.
It's not a Bloody Mary, is it?
Juice.
It's an IPA Bloody Mary.
Well, that's going to taste disgusting.
So, we need some glasses, Mark.
We need some glasses. Yes.
Well,
sorry.
We only need three because I'm not having one.
No, you've got to have it.
What?
You've got to have a try. Mary. That's the idea.
Oh, God.
So, to give you some details, this is 7.6%.
Oh,
what?
And the description on the can gives you some, you know, different things about the beer. So it says eye, nose, taste, Bloody Mary. All it says.
Hey?
Now, normally a beer would say it's floral, it's, you know, sweet, I'd give you characteristics of the beer. This says Bloody Mary.
I'm intrigued as to what is going to look like in a glass.
Right.
A Bloody
I'm not
Mary.
Looking forward to this.
I'm not looking forward to it. Have we got any Tabasco sauce and some celery?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, dear.
Well, I don't mind that sound of the can opening. It's what's going to be coming out. Oh, hang on.
Four out of ten for the poor.
It don't look that bad.
I thought it'd be red, for starters.
Yeah, I thought it'd be red. It's like, for the benefit of the tape, it's like a dirty beer...
Like when you have a wee,
Yeah, it's that sort of look. Okay.
Right, come on, hand it out then, come on.
It doesn't look like one. Thanks.
All right, okay, well...
Cheers, boys. I can't...
Have a good smell first.
Oh,
wow.
Smells like rhubarb.
Well, it's a bit pinky, isn't it, when you look at it when it settles?
Yeah.
Smells like rhubarb. Smells like tomatoes.
No, I'm not liking this. Let's have a taste.
Oh, well, actually, that's really not bad at all.
Ooh.
That's really not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not as bad as I thought it were going to be.
That is actually really nice.
That is not bad at all.
Now then, that's very smooth.
And you know what? For seven, what is it?
7.6%.
It doesn't even taste strong, does it?
No.
Mark's using it as mouthwash.
Yeah. Honestly, get it frothing in your mouth. It really comes to life. It's fantastic, is that?
Well, I won't say fantastic, but it's...
Well, do you know what?
It's not bad.
That is not as bad as what I thought that were going to be.
Even better, I'm really surprised.
What's next, Rob? Kebab?
Even better, what's even more surprising is it went out of date in 2021.
Hey.
Really?
Pour it all over me.
Did it?
Genuine.
Well, waste not one.
For the benefit of the tape, Rob's just picked the can up and tipped it upside down to look at
the date. Just so you know, I only realised it went out of date in 2021 when I looked literally last minute last night and I was like,
I'm only drinking this if these three idiots
do. I thought, do you know what? I'll see how it pours. Tastes fine to me.
It
does taste fine, and thanks for that, Rob. Keep the the different stuff coming. It's always nice to try something new.
Absolutely.
And actually, yeah, it's not bad, not a bad tickle at all. That
I forgot it's stolen this one.
So anyway, we've had another email in, guys.
Cool.
Another email from someone called Jake, and he's put, "Love the podcast, lads."
Lads.
It has officially become my favourite podcast.
Oh, fantastic.
To listen to on the way back from the gym.
It's the first podcast he's found this, isn't it?
Yeah. As a Rotherham lad myself, I have two questions for you.
Two?
We love a question, don't we? So, what's your top five favourite pubs in the South Yorkshire area?
Way up.
And what's your top five music artists from South Yorkshire? All the best. Keep up the good work.
Now then.
Okay. So thank you very much, Jake.
Yeah, thanks, Jake. Now then. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
So,
where do you start?
South Yorkshire.
It's a good start.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm, first of all, just through fairness, I'm going to discount my three locals. That have been the Horse and Tiger, the Red Lion and the Ball Inn at Thorpe Esley. Great pubs. They're all, you know, pubs I frequent. And so I'm going to discount those three because it would be unfair to use up three of my choices on local pubs.
And of course,
although I'm giving him a shout out.
And of course, the chatting.
And of course, the chatting.
Yes. Well, I can start by saying that I have an area of Yorkshire that I really enjoy drinking in, and that is Kelham Island in Sheffield.
Ooh,
nice. Yes. Yeah.
I find the area it's got a great vibe about it. Do you know, like, it feels very current. It's always buzzing and there's always an atmosphere. And there's a pub there, Kelham Island Tavern, I think it's called.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know the one? Yeah, really small pub. And yeah, I would definitely say that would be my favourite. And I haven't been a lot. I really haven't been that many times, but every time I've gone, they've got loads of beer on choice. I like IPAs, I like craft beer, and they've always got such a varied choice of beer. So, yeah, that would have to go down as mine.
Okay. I must admit, I like Kelham Island. I mean, I've been to, is it called The Heist? I know that's the brewery, isn't it? I just really like the feel of it. And you sit there and they've got some long, like, wooden benches and, you know, just all about people drinking and meeting up together. But I think they've got some, like, 28 different beers on.
There's loads. Yeah. And it's part of the Slap and Pickle brand, which is I think that's the food chain, not food chain, but that's the restaurant side of it. We went in with that time and we had the smash burgers and stuff.
I thought it was really funny because I remember ordering this. I didn't just look, I just looked at the stout thing that was on offer because I like a dark ale, a stout. And it just said something about chocolate and, you know, so I thought, I'm having that. And when he says, what size do you want? And obviously I was just like, well, a pint. And he looked at me as though I got two heads. And I'm like, well, no, of course I want a pint. What do you think? And he gave this pint. I took one big drink of it. And my God, it nearly blew my head off. And it's not until I looked after, I think it was like 14% or something. Wow. Yeah, I had another one, though.
Okay. You had a pint of it.
Another pint.
Well,
yeah.
Wow. A pint.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I do like that area myself,
Well, you're all looking at me with some trepidation. I want to hear Mark's first.
Oh, right. Okay.
Well, you want to hear mine? Well, I don't have that many, but one, I'd agree with Rob. That's one of my favourite areas. Can we not say local pubs?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, well, I've got a local pub near me called the Gorilla Bar, which is quite good.
Romarsh.
Yeah.
Romarsh? No, where are you?
Mexborough.
So that's a good bar. It's near the Mecchi Riviera. Is it Riviera?
Riviera.
Which is next to the canal, so it's not massive, but they have loads of bands on right up your street, Marky. So that's good. I go there a lot with my son, so that's one of my favourites.
What do you like most about it?
Is
it the live music?
It's local.
Element?
I don't need to get a bus. I can just walk to it. And having good bars is I think in this day and age, it's quite difficult to get a good bar that you sort of like.
And do you like the live element of it? The fact that they've got live music?
Well, Listen, I don't, generally don't go when they've got live acts because I'm usually working. But I've been there occasionally when they've got live acts on. And but they do quizzes, they do afternoon dance things, like salsa classes.
I think
I should see you in a salsa class.
Well, me and Ethan went and they were doing some sort of salsa class. Yeah, it was a salsa class when we went. I mean, they have he's 17 there.
I mean, they made it.
All three of them.
Well, when I'm going to say when I say he's 17, it's like normal, you know, Motown bands where they'd like one member,
yeah,
and then another member, and they all like, you can go, hang on a minute, why is there like, you know, four tops when there's only like one band? But they all split off, don't they?
It's like
S Club
2, isn't it?
S Club 3.
I do think there's a lot to be said for entertainment in pubs these days, you know, because it does give you something that's a bit extra than just going into a pub and just sat talking. It's nice to have that background of a quiz or something like that you can join in with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go on then, Mark, you were carrying what we were saying.
There's another play. I mean, it's not really a pub, but it's a place which I quite like, which is the Wool Market in Doncaster, in town centre.
Oh, yes.
That's quite a nice place.
Yeah, I've only been there once, but I know, yeah. It's
just got a nice vibe about it.
And they've done it all up, haven't they? Like, it's an old market that they've done out, and they've got little food outlets. And,
yeah, that's it. Well, yeah. And there's a Witherspoon's nearby, which is cheaper. So that's always a bonus. Because you still can have like a couple of pints in there and go, you know what, I'll go to Witherspoon's because it's a bit cheaper. And then there's just a couple of places that are sort of like, there's a place at Blacksmith's, which is East Retford area. I know it's not Yorkshire, but that's a nice place that I like to go to. Quite a market.
What do you like about that, though?
The food. Atmosphere. Right. Just a good place for that.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's marvellous. About it.
Well, it's funny you should say about the Blacksmiths, actually, because I was waiting for it to come round to me, because I don't get out much. You know, it's not something that I normally go out to pubs or whatever. Like I say, I do like going out to places like Kelham Island or whatever. But if somebody was to say to me, you know, what's your favourite pub? It just doesn't exist anymore. So my favourite pub, I suppose, from a nostalgia point of view or whatever, was the Blacksmiths in Thorpe Esley.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that where we used to play pool?
Pool.
And did they have karaoke at any point?
Yes, because I used to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know something? It's one of those, that is the pub. If I won the Euro Millions, and I don't know why, because it would be probably a waste of money, I'd buy the apartments that the people are living in, move them in somewhere nice. So like, here's a million each. Off you go, flatten it and rebuild the Blacksmiths.
Rebuild it.
Yeah. And you know, probably, I don't, whether it'd do any good or not, I don't know. But try to do it like for like, and just to give it back to the village.
I mean, fundamentally, it were tiny, weren't it?
Yeah,
it were tiny, but it had a lounge, it had a tap side,
tap room, yeah,
it had a tap room.
Did it have a smoking room?
You know, well, the back then you could smoke it anywhere, but no, it literally had two rooms downstairs. One side was a lounge, one side was a tap room. Pool table were in the tap room. You know, and it's just my memories that was.
And it was one of those pubs, wasn't it, where a pool table was in a space where it didn't quite fit. And if you're in a certain shot, you're up against wall, or they had a kids' queue.
Kids' queue.
Used on that particular corner because you couldn't get the queue in properly. Yeah.
I remember, because you'll have spent a lot more time in that pub than I did, but I remember coming a few times and I'd come to play pool and you'd literally be like, yeah, just let him take a shot and then he'll be done. Kill the pool. I'd be out here first.
Yeah. First
two goes done. Out.
I mean, I have so many amazing memories just from that pub. And it were just, you know, I have memories of just literally one of them pubs where you could walk in and you know that there's somebody going to be in there that you know.
Yeah, it was a proper community.
It was a proper community pub, and I just think it's such a shame that. Like a lot of pubs now, it's flats.
Yeah.
It's apartments. It's flats. You know, it got flattened, and that's it. It's flats, and it's a shame because more and more pubs are going that way, aren't they?
Yeah. If they're not flattening them, they're still turning them into multiple residences, aren't they? You know, loads of bedrooms in them, and it becomes a multiple occupancy place. Yeah, it is a shame.
You know, unless a pub really goes all out now on food. You know, or it's owned by a massive, massive chain that means they can get the beer cheaper and keep the prices low. Weatherspoons, like you said before, and stuff. What chance have they got? Mm. You know, if somebody could gift me a pub tomorrow, you know, and what would you do with it?
Yeah.
What would you do with it?
I know.
You know, I suppose that kind of goes for hospitality in general, though, doesn't it? It's really struggling.
Yeah.
It's really struggling.
It definitely feels that way, yeah.
you know, and I don't think people understand as much. I think people are complaining a lot about how prices are going up, whether it be prices for food, whether it be, you know, what you pay for food now, what you pay for drink, what you pay to stay in hotels or for nights away and stuff like that. But the costs that are increasing in an industry like hospitality, it's absolutely crippling the industry. Mm. And I tell you something, if it all was to go tomorrow, we'd feel it.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's sad, isn't it, when I suppose pubs are being bought up by these pub companies, you know, and they're not holding, you know, the managers, if you like, or the tenants to ransom. You know, they do well, they want more, and you're tied into their sort of, you've got to buy this beer and that beer, and, you know, and charging exorbitant rent rates, and, you know, and they, you know, then they've got to sort of pass it on by charging whatever they do a pint, £5 and £6 a pint. Well, it's probably not £6, but £4 and £5 a pint. And it's a shame because it does affect people, and then fewer people go out, and then, you know, they go to supermarkets, buy 3 for £20 or whatever it is on kids.
So do you think that's what it is that's changed then? It's the fact that it's the price that it costs to go to a pub these days?
I think it's multifaceted. I think society's changed. I think fewer people are doing different things to what we used to do back in, you know, we were kids. You know, your parents went to a pub, you went to a pub with them, you played in beer garden, there were swings and everything else. There are more and more pubs popping up now that are more food related, because that's what they've got to do to make the difference, if you like, because they're not making enough on wet, as they call it, or beer and wine.
Do you think people have become less sociable?
I don't think they have. I think there's just more things for people to do. So, like, I mean, I know there's always been cinemas around and bowling alleys and stuff, but there's so much for people to sort of do now. Like, on a, say, Friday, Saturday night, if I'm like Mark said, you know, people are off to cinema, they're off bowling, they're off doing crazy golf, they're off doing this. There's so many different avenues that distract people away from, say, a Saturday night in a pub, and I think that's the issue. It's a bit like TV, for example, where there's, you know, there's YouTube, so people aren't sat watching TV on a Saturday night. So I think there's just more things for people.
Yeah, yeah. In all fairness, Mark, that is a fair point. Even just TV in general at home, with all the different things you can watch on TV, even that stops people from going out, doesn't it?
Of course it
does,
yeah.
And going to, like you said, there's so many things you can do when you get out. Some people aren't even going out, full stop, because they can just watch. I've got loads of things I want to watch. I'll get a few cans in and I'll do it that way. And it's a bit cheaper, I guess.
Well, a lot cheaper. I mean, like I said, you know, if you're looking at £4 or £5 a pint, you know, and let's say there's a couple going out and you're taking, you know, little Ronnie or whatever his name is.
Ronnie?
To, you know, you're going to buy him a fruit shoot. His fruit shoot's going to be £2 or £3.
Yeah. I don't think Ronnie's going to be drinking
your
fruit shoot.
All right, a snake bite then. Bottle of Nuki Brown. And, you know, but you're £10, £12 around, aren't you? You go out for 3 or 4 hours and you're £50, £60, £70 in. Yep. You know, you go out for a night and you're doing £100 easy, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, throwing them.
So you can understand where people, you know, probably choosing to. And I suppose, I think lockdown had an effect. A lot of people started building home bars, you know, buying their own drinks in from the supermarket, and they're all in their own little social, you know, shindigs, if you like, in their own gardens and garages and whatever else they built the man caves in, or women caves, or whatever you want to call them. You know, and so I think that changed massively for a lot of people. But I think there's still room for pubs, obviously, because, you know, nice weather comes eventually, hopefully. People sitting beer gardens and stuff. And
you can see a lot of effort as well that they're going into as well. Like, for instance, well, I'm going to use that as an example. Tiny Rebel. I went to their brewery / bar last year. We went down to Cardiff and Nipton. I went into two of their bars, but went to the actual brewery itself. And the effort that they're going to in the bar, from the food that they do, it's so different. And they've got, you know, these sort of places have got board games galore, different games and stuff, so that they you're not just there to drink, you're there to experience the atmosphere, get involved in playing games and doing stuff. And I think that, you know, they are making an effort.
But do you not think that what sometimes that can create, like pubs that really invest into like food or let's say nicer food or live entertainment and stuff, they're aiming it at the people that go out once a week or once a fortnight or whatever, whereas back in the day, back in our day, you potentially go to the pub 2, 3, 4 times a week.
And some people went every day after
some
work.
Some people
didn't
went
they?
Every day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that I think's gone.
You mean they almost turn into an event for them to go, if you're going to go out one day a week, say Saturday night, come to us.
Come to us.
Come to us and have your event, because it's not a throwaway thing where you go out two or three, like you said, two or three nights
remember
a week.
Remember, like going into a pub on a Sunday afternoon and there are roast potatoes and Yorkshire puddings on bar.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Just like, oh, there's a bit of a snack.
It used to, it almost used to be a way of life.
It was part of the community.
That's why, you know, you look around some of the council estates around the country, there were pubs in the middle of them. They built them in the middle of estates because they were hubs. They were hubs. And I think, I do, and I genuinely believe this, that the, you know, losing some of these places has had a detrimental effect on community.
Yeah.
And, you know, although I know, you know, things have changed and people have found other things to keep themselves entertained, it's all quite insular. Mm. Whereas people used to go into pubs and, you know, you'd be talking to people, you know, kids would be playing with each other. You know, I know things have changed and kids are, you know, they're playing remotely on social media apps and on the video games and whatever. But it was more of a social place to be, wasn't it? It was almost like a, I wouldn't say a community centre, but it had that sort of feel, didn't it? It was in your own first name term.
It was everybody's living room.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I remember it's similar to that, working men's clubs. So when I were growing up, you know, my dad went to a working man's club. I mean, I know they're still around, but not like they used to be. There used to be an abundance of working men's clubs. And my dad used to go there on a Sunday, and I used to go with him. And, you know, I'd be sat outside with my Chris and my papa, but I could be able to, I'd go inside. There'd be people on bowling green. There'd be people on snooker table. And working men's clubs were very similar to, because that were a community.
Absolutely.
And there were loads of them. You know, I mean, we had, like, in Hillsborough, where I used to live, I mean, there were two. I mean, in fact, I think they're still there now. Two working men's clubs in Hillsborough, walking distance from his house. And that were very similar to the community type thing.
Well, when I think, I mean, obviously, Thorpe Esley, where I lived, how many pubs were there literally in walking distance? So you had the Sportsman, if we go from the top. So
I think there was eight. Well, when we were younger, there would have been eight.
Eight
local pubs within walking distance.
Yeah, I mean, one was a little bit further out, the Bayhorse, a little bit further away.
Yeah.
But if you started at one end and you'd say right, let's start at the Bowling.
Let's start
at the Bowling, for example. We'll go from the Bowling to the Red Lion, to the Masons, to the Horse and Tiger, to the Blacksmiths, then to the Sportsman. Then to the Bayhorse. How many is that?
Seven.
Did I say one
more?
Did I say seven?
You said eight.
Did I?
One more for the medal.
There was actually another one in Thorpe Esley called the New Inn, but that closed down before I can remember.
Yeah.
Right. That's a lot of pubs though. It's a very small area.
I mean, you just stretch it out a little bit, then you can start
including. There are eight pubs. There are only 15 people living here.
I mean, stretch it out a bit further, just literally within maybe a mile or so, and then you've got the Travellers, you've got the Effingham.
Yeah.
You know, and so literally within you know, a relatively short distance, you had maybe anything up to nine, maybe even 10 pubs.
Yeah. So how many pubs is there now in Thorpe Esley?
Well, it's still not bad, actually.
If you were to include what was the Travellers, it's now called the Barley. The Barley, the Bowling, Red Lion, Horse and Tiger, Masons. And the Bayhorse, which is in Scholes.
That's as many as Wickersley. That's restaurants.
Yeah, but again, at least two of them have only just kind of, I don't want to say surviving because I don't know the detail behind it, but they've kind of rebranded into more food places, haven't they?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. They've been revamped and they've been taken on by new ownership but they're very much food related.
But it's dry lead, isn't it, rather than wet lead?
Yes.
You know, and that's, again, going back to what we were saying about the difference in what's changed. You know, you used to go to a pub for a pint. You know, you were lucky if they did a pie or, you know, a Ploughman's or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, whereas now a pub that doesn't do food, you know, is a big deal. You know, how do they survive?
Mm-hmm.
How do they survive? But what's interesting is if you speak to a lot of people, they say the same thing. They'll say, oh, it's a shame that pubs are closing down. It's a shame that local pub. So if people have this general view, why ain't anyone doing anything about it? As in, why is communities not supporting the local pubs more to keep them open?
It comes down to being able to afford it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes down to being able to afford it. And I think they do what they can. They go when they can afford to go and they say, oh, we'll nip for a couple or whatever. And, you know, and I suppose it's great that they're supporting, but people can only afford to do what they're doing with the cost of living crisis that we've got at the minute. You know, it's a shame. But, you know, good times to come, I think.
I must admit, I'm always attracted to a place when it's got some form of entertainment or something to offer outside of the realm of you can just get a drink. Because like I said, I can get that in my own, I can have that at home and it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if there's something on offer that I go, yeah, I don't mind paying those drinks prices because I don't go out every night. But I then want, I don't want and expect something in return. It just, that entices me there. You know, it's something that I would say, lads, there's a quiz on at such and such pub tonight. Do you fancy it? You know, it's a reason to go.
Yeah, it pulls you in.
I like when you walk into a pub, you open the doors and you can hear the ambience, the noise, glasses chinking and, you know, and people talking and you can feel the atmosphere. And for me, that's what a pub is all around. You know, you walk in, you can make conversation with somebody that you don't even, well, you might know very little or you don't even know. You can start, a conversation about something and just start talking with people and, That's pubs for me. I think that you know.
Did you actually tell us your favourite pub?
Bloody! I've been to that many pubs. I couldn't think of. But what I will do, it's just, come out just with your for the record, because I'm not going to pick one of the. But I am going to name check the Horse and Tiger, the Red Lion, and the Bull Inn at Thorpe Esley. They're three cracking pubs, and the effort they put in for the local people is incredible. Putting, you know, and like you say, entertainment and doing what they can to keep people interested. It's fantastic. So I've got to give them a name check. I like traditional pubs. And what I'm going to say now probably steps away from that. Yeah. But I like, if I'm going to sit in a pub on an afternoon, I like, you know, I like the old sort of style atmosphere-led pubs rather than, you know, the trendy sort of stripped back and that sort of thing. But what I am going to say, I went to a pub and I've only been in there three or four times ever. And I went in the week before last, and I was blown away because there was a gig on. And it's called the Cutlers in Rotherham. I don't know if you know it.
That's in Rotherham, is it?
That's right. And they have loads of...
just goes to show you how much he listens to you, doesn't it, Mal?
He said, whereabouts in Rotherham is it? And you went...
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just let it go.
You said that's in Rotherham, is it?
Right. No, sorry. No, it's okay. Go on with your story.
That's in Rotherham.
So it's in Rotherham. What did you just say? It's just off Westgate.
Okay, right.
So you go from Westgate, if you're going to Alma Road, and the Cutlers is there on the right-hand side.
Yep.
In fact, I think it is on Westgate. No, it is on Westgate. It's before you turn on... It is on Westgate.
It's all enough. All right, I'd ask him a question. Nice. Do you want me to show me a map on your phone?
Yeah, anyway, so I went in, and I know that they've got a room at the back, inside the actual pub, with a stage and, you know, for gigs and stuff. Yep. And I assumed that this gig I was going to was in that room. It wasn't. So you went through the back door into what would be normally, I suppose, traditionally, it may have been a courtyard or a car park or something. And they'd built like a massive gazebo canopy sort of thing, but properly done. There were hot air blown into it to keep it warm. And it were like inside, outside. It were fantastic. Okay. So it were ticketed and everything. So this band I went to see was called the Arctic Numpties.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously they're a tribute for the Arctic Monkeys, and they were sensational. Yeah. And I'm not making any. I won't. They were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And so I like pubs where, like I say, I like pubs where that are pubs. You go in for a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, you have a couple of pints, and you're having a tune wagon. You know, football's on TV. Great, brilliant. But I also like the ones that are thinking a little bit more than that. And the Cutlers is very much a traditional pub. You go in, it's all wood inside. You know, it's traditional, and they've kept the character of what it was. And then they've done that at the back, and it's absolutely incredible. And they were absolutely, honestly, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, but I do know that question did suggest some South Yorkshire bands.
I definitely
want
to come back onto that because I actually want to know more about them. But you just hit a nerve there.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found with pubs recently is that I'm not sure, and I might be wrong on this, I don't feel as though they're keeping up with the times. In that, at the minute, there's a huge, might be a bit of dramatic. There's a big, I don't even know what the word is.
Surprise, surprise.
Come on.
A lot of people are all going for the craft beer. yeah, at the minute, right, rather than IPAs or what would you call them? Guest ales. That's what they know. I always class. There's guest ales and craft beer, mm-hmm, which are very, very similar but very different drinks. And I feel as though a lot of pubs are stuck in the way of guest ales, where you got all your hand pumps and all that. But they're so slow to getting up to speed with the fact that a lot of people are drinking craft beers. All you ever find is cans in the fridge, and you're like, oh, I want something fresh on tap. And I just don't feel as though they're really getting.
I'm not sure I agree.
Really?
Absolutely. And Mark's a perfect example of this, as is my dad and a lot of people I know that will go out and they'll drink John Smith Smooth.
Hang on a minute. Are you saying I'm the same age as your dad?
You might as well be. But what I'm saying is, you could give them any option of a beer,
yeah,
and they'll choose that. And also, we should be named chicken beers, I suppose, but there'll be certain drinks and people will just drink that regardless of what else you put on. And I think there are places for it. Kelham Island is a perfect example. Mm. You know, people go there and the intention of, oh, you know, you'll see your camera guys, that's camera, CAMRA, yeah, with the little notepads, scoring the beers.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there's a lot of places around there that, you know, do like you say, the craft stuff. And I think there's a market for that.
Well, that's my point, in that I could go into some pubs, and there's all those choices that you're saying. There's not one craft beer pub.
Yeah, but what you've got to remember, Rob, it's like Mark was saying earlier, there's so much limitation on pubs that are owned by breweries. You're almost in a frame of mind of, if I owned a pub. So if I owned a pub, this is what I'd do, because it keeps up with the times or whatever.
Well, you know me. They own a pub, and I'm telling them that I want that.
Yeah, but regardless of me owning it. And they just say no.
No chance, because
they just say no.
And that's my point.
They'll have got a deal with Heineken.
They'll have got deals with where they get their beer from, or it's a brewery led, where they only sell their own types of beer. You're licensed in to get the best price you can do. So, you're licensed in.
So therefore, these breweries need to change what they're making. Not change, add into what they're making, so that they can put their own craft beer onto the tap.
But they don't need to, because they're making a fortune.
Yeah, it's mass-produced. It's cheaper, isn't it, to mass-produce?
I get that, but the conversation we're also having is about the fact that it's diminishing in numbers going to the pub. Yeah. And what I'm saying is, I'm a person that says, I'm not going into that pub because they don't do my beer. Mm-hmm. And it's not I want a BrewDog Punk IPA. It's they don't do craft beer.
Yeah. I would say that you probably fall into, probably not far from single digits in terms of the percentage of people that would go out like you're talking.
I won't argue
with
that.
Maybe 10%. But I would certainly say you're definitely in the minority.
I definitely say it's a younger demographic that are going for craft beers. I do get that, but maybe that's where they might be going wrong, in that they're catering for an older market and not the younger market.
Well, what you're basically saying is that, as we've said, the pub trade is dying a little bit, isn't it? They're struggling, should we say. So you're saying that they really should be thinking outside the box, really
diversifying
the market and shaking it up.
Yeah.
A little bit, not that I'm getting into politics here, a bit like politics where there's just Conservatives and Labour. That's all there really is, and it needs a shake-up. So it's a bit like going back to the pub trade or the hospitality, well, not so much hospitality, but pubs, just shaking all the market up. Like, I know Kirk's right, we're all right, that's our pubs operate, that's how they do things.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a time for change.
Yes.
Maybe they should be doing something different.
Yeah.
And they're stuck in the ways because this is what we do, this is how we've done it. But as we know, everything changes. Look at TV, BBC ITV, this is how we do it.
Yeah.
No, YouTube's going, hello.
It's even that.
You know, it's different things, isn't it?
It's even the fact that if I go into a bar that even did remotely do a new stout or something that's higher percentage, because one thing I am noticing, even if it's not craft beer, some of the beer percentages of alcohol volume is going up, right? But very few places, if you go in and say, can I have 2/3 of that? They go, no, it's a pint, mm-hmm, or half. And you go, yeah, but half a pint's not enough. A pint's too much. It's 7% what you're serving me. And they haven't even got 2/3 glasses. If you go to what I would consider a proper craft beer pub, you'll find that they serve a beer above 6%, maybe 7%. They'll serve it as 2/3, because they pretty much know you don't really want much more than that, given the volume. So it's even little things like that, and I've said it before in pubs I've gone to and said I can have 2/3, no, we don't do it. And I'll just stand there feeling really frustrated. Like,
I go to some pubs and you ask for a pint, they give you 2/3 anyway. Yeah, I'm gonna say
So if you're listening out there, any breweries, the chatting say change and change with the times. That's what that's what we say.
That's what Rob's
Rob
saying.
That's what I'm saying too. Yeah. I'll back that.
Play it to the minority.
So back on the question then about the bands then. You mentioned earlier that you went to see Arctic Numpties.
Arctic Numpties, yeah.
So they were a tribute band to Arctic Monkeys. Obviously the second part of that question was top five or favourite music artists from South Yorkshire. Now I've got to be honest and say, do you know what, my music knowledge and music trivia, unless it's Michael Jackson, is absolutely magnificent. I don't think
he's not from Barnsley.
I don't think he's from South Yorkshire.
And I'm exactly the same. If it's not Celine Dion,
schoolers, please.
There's one band that you certainly won't like from South Yorkshire, and that's Pulp.
Don't get me started on Pulp.
Let's talk about Pulp.
After it's followed it up by Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that. Dicker. Anyway.
What actually happened with that? Did he...
Don't get him started.
He was mooning him, wasn't he, while they were on stage, or mooning cameras and stuff.
Well, that Brit Awards or
Brit
something.
Awards. Yeah, 98, was it? Was it 98?
I don't know the year. It was just pathetic. I mean, you got someone in the
realms of Michael Jackson.
I mean, earlier than 98. Probably 96, I reckon. 97.
And you've got, what's he called? Cocker or something.
Jarvis Cocker.
You know, thinking, oh, I'll take some of his limelight away and I'll... Absolutely.
Can I ask you a question? Did you like him before he did that? As in, I don't mean Michael Jackson. I mean, I'm going to say Joe Cocker then. Jarvis Cocker, did you like him before?
I'd never heard of him. He were a nobody.
Okay.
In the grand scheme of things, compared to Michael Jackson, let's face it, Pulp were a nobody compared to Michael Jackson. Anyway, I told you not to get me started.
We said,
on
don't
that.
Get him started.
I told you, Mark. In goes the hand grenade.
Yeah.
Go on. So favourite South Yorkshire bands? I think, I mean, the thing is, it'd be easy to do the commercial ones. Well, I say commercial ones. The more commercially successful ones.
That's all I can start with.
So Arctic Monkeys, obviously.
Yeah, that is it for me.
Reverend and the Makers are fantastic. And also, fantastic live.
Right.
The Rev, John McClure, is so energetic. When he's on... he's a proper frontman, as far as I see it. Jumping around and, you know, absolutely brilliant live.
Just before you move on, I'm just going to say, because it would have been my only shout.
Yeah.
Not only, but one of the main is Arctic Monkeys. And back in the day, they were brilliant. But like now, there's just a bit of a meh. You know, they've changed so much, haven't they?
Absolutely. And even sort of doing the live stuff, they've gone a bit cool, if you like. And almost a bit too cool.
Yeah.
When we saw them at Hillsborough, in Hillsborough Park, and very, almost as yeah, just too cool for school.
A bit arrogant, almost.
A little bit.
I mean, same thing.
I think it's great when artists evolve.
Yeah.
But to be, you know, come and play your hometown, and bearing in mind they're big Sheffield Wednesday fans. So to stand on that stage in Hillsborough Park, and over, if he was to look right off that stage, he could see Hillsborough Stadium, the football ground. He could see that. He made no reference at all to anything. And I'm not a Sheffield Wednesday fan, but I was stood there thinking, surely this is your bread and butter. These people here were supporting you when you were starting out, you know, and you're on that stage now. You made no ref. There's no like, oh, it's nice to be home or anything. There was nothing, very little. Just hello Sheffield and started playing. That were it.
Yeah.
Hello Sheffield, like you'd never been before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which, you know, but kudos to the success, because what they've done is absolutely off the scale, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
So who else is there?
There's some old school. I mean, for my age, I've sort of grew up with Human League, ABC, that sort of thing. So they're the Sheffield bands I'm going to say.
Are Def Leppard?
Def Leppard and Sheffield.
They would be on my list. Yeah. What about Dire Straits? I think I've got it. I've had it in my head for years that they're from Sheffield. And I bet they're not.
Dire Straits?
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there are Dire Straits in Sheffield. There's Dire Straits rather in a lot of places. We're all feeling the pinch, aren't we?
Well, Dire Straits is teaming up with Chris Rea, do you know?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
For a tour or...?
Well, they're going to call themselves Chris Straits.
Really? Is that a joke?
Well, think about it. Dire Straits and Chris Rea teaming up.
Chris Straits.
The punchline would be, Mark knows it, you two don't.
I've no idea what you're talking about.
Tell him, Mark.
Diarrhea?
Oh. And that's why I said Chris Straits.
Oh. Yeah.
So, oh, yeah. It was Mark, too easy, that, Mark.
I know, it's just wasted on these two.
I'm a bit embarrassed by that. We didn't even get that.
Even when I said Chris Straits, I thought they were going to go, oh, I weren't
expecting
you to
say that.
Some
other artists then from Sheffield. Or South... Well, I'm picking Sheffield because it's like Sheffield almost. Yeah. Although, actually, no, I'm going to step outside of Sheffield and back to Rotherham because Raytons.
Oh, yeah, well,
the Raytons, they're absolutely kicking it.
I've never seen them.
Have you not?
No. I don't even know if I've heard
one
of the songs.
It's July. They're at Clifton Park.
Is that them that did the Kids from the Estate or
Kids
something?
Off the Estate,
Kids off the Estate. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that song. You'll have heard that, Rob.
I probably have.
You have. Yeah. You'll have heard
you would have heard it.
And they did one of the lyrics in one of their songs was when Clifton Park was Disneyland, Kids off the Estate.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they're actually playing Clifton Park is absolutely... You want to say genius, don't you? Because it's like sort of come full circle.
Are they young lads?
Yeah, a little bit younger than us. Not overly young. I think Johnny Yarrell's probably mid-30s.
Is that?
Oh, wow, I thought they were younger
I thought they were like in the 20s.
Arctic Monkeys age, like 21, 22.
Arctic Monkeys are in the 40s.
No, when Arctic Monkeys started out, they were sixth form.
They don't just let school. In the 40s. How old's Alex Turner? Probably, no, actually. Probably the same age, I reckon.
Really? I've seen video where Kids off the Estate, and they only look young. Because it's obviously filmed in and around Rotherham.
I'm even going to have to Google
Clifton Park.
Arctic Monkeys. I thought Arctic Monkeys had just left school.
I thought they were only in the 20s and young lads.
Are we talking about Raytons or Arctic Monkeys? I'm confused.
I'm talking about Arctic Monkeys.
People wonder why I'm going grey.
So, you know, mid to late 30s, I'm certain of it. So other bands then, other bands that you'll be aware of, they're not from South Yorkshire, but they were formed in South Yorkshire. Maloko.
Maloko, yeah.
Sing It Back.
Oh, yeah. They just had that one song, though?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, they had a couple, but that's the most famous.
You know, Roisin Murphy, she's obviously Irish, but they were formed in Sheffield. I don't know if they went to university or something in Sheffield.
I think they were doing something in
Sheffield together, and then that's where they were formed.
Arctic Monkeys were 16 when they released their first album.
Were they?
Wow. 16, 17.
Wow.
Wow.
I thought they were just pretty literally in sixth form.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know, interestingly, Alex Turner's dad was Helen's music teacher at school.
Really?
Yeah, Romarsh Camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who else?
Kaiser Chiefs, but they're Leeds.
Oh, I know them.
Oh, you know them?
Yeah, I know them.
They're not South Yorkshire.
No, they're Leeds.
They're
aren't
West
they,
Yorkshire.
West Yorkshire, yeah. They're different people.
Do we not talk about West Yorkshire people?
They're different people.
What about Joe Cocker? He's from Sheffield.
Yeah, he is. Joe Cocker is.
Really? Yeah. Oh. What about...
What's his name? Amarillo guy,
Tony Christie.
Yeah, he's from Sheffield.
Tony Christie. Was it that did St Elmo's Fire?
Oh, John Parr.
John Parr. He's from Doncaster.
Yes. Yeah, he's from Conisbury, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you seem to have a lot of knowledge about this. So, who would you say is the most successful band to come out of South Yorkshire then, or artist to come out of South Yorkshire?
Potentially, and just thinking longevity wise, do you think could be Def Leppard, or do you think Arctic Monkeys just be purely because of when they went so big they were massive?
I suppose it's what you class as successful.
Yeah, yeah. I mean obviously Def Leppard started, they've been going longer.
Arctic Monkeys have headlined Glastonbury twice, have they?
I don't know.
Yeah, they have.
So
depends how you
I would definitely
say
it's between them two, but for very different reasons.
Yeah,
I mean, we can't say Arctic Monkeys until they've done the same lifespan as Def Leppard.
Well, shall I check who's actually sold the most records?
I mean, Def Leppard...
Yeah, Google it, by all means.
Google it, yeah.
You know, Def Leppard were big in America, and I think they still are quite big in America.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? When you start measuring success, especially with, like, artists and stuff, then, it's whether they've managed to break across the pond, if you like.
Certain markets.
Yeah.
Then you assess success, do you mean in album sales or in income? Because obviously, I know you might say, well, if they've got loads of sales, they've got loads of income, but not necessarily so, because a lot of bands make the money from tours.
Yeah.
So they might sell
and
loads of albums.
Different times.
So it's hard to say most successful. I suppose you've got to see it from a commercial point of view.
I suppose in my head, I could kind of say, right, well, if they both released tour tickets tomorrow morning, which would sell out first.
Yeah.
I mean,
in Sheffield or...
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of a measuring stick of who we think.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, I tell you, what I've not mentioned. Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh,
from Sheffield.
I
tell you something. They are incredible live.
Yeah,
they're a metal band, and they are incredible. And my daughter Leonie, she absolutely loves Ollie.
You say every band that you've seen is incredible live. Is anybody there? Yeah. I mean, I'm not taking that away from you. I'm sure they are.
Well, like I said, I've seen Arctic Monkeys a couple of times, and you know, I wouldn't say underwhelming, but they could have been better.
Right.
You know, whereas you go and see some bands and it's like they just absolutely kick it out of the park.
Time at the bar, please.
To answer your question, Def Leppard have sold more records overall compared to Arctic Monkeys. It doesn't give
figures.
Going
probably 20
but they've been
years
going longer,
haven't
they? So they've got to...
Yeah.
I
suppose that's the only measuring stick we've got, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's be right.
Anyway, we've got another email.
Oh,
I know. Okay. It hasn't just dropped since we've been recording. But
what's your favourite South Yorkshire postcode?
Well, before you read that, Rob, thank you very much, Jake, for those questions. Yeah. As you can see, we appreciate the questions coming in. It certainly sets us off on a bit of a tangent. So keep them coming in.
Yeah.
Actually, if we've missed any, let us know. Find us on socials and let us know if we've missed any artists that you know are from Yorkshire and we've missed them.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So it goes like this. This is from John. Hi, guys. Just wanted to let you know that I have recently found your podcast and I'm currently working my way through it. I'm about the same age as you guys and can relate to a lot of the subjects you talk about, and I love your sense of humour. Thank you.
Cool.
I always say a podcast should be like listening to your mates, and you guys do that brilliantly. Here's one for you to discuss. Shag, marry, avoid. Oh, dear. Megan Fox, Taylor Swift, or Katy Perry?
And on that note...
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Or you just want to get in touch with us? Why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's two N's, not one N, because one N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.